Well, here it is, the Pete Carroll Show with Pete Carroll. Good morning, sir. How are you? Fresh off the bus this morning.
I'm awesome. I had a blast.
You must have had so much fun.
Oh, gosh. This was so much, such a fun game in so many different ways. And so proud that, you know, to go out there and do that Monday night and for the young guys. And we made a big deal about it, you know, to handle it and to deal with it and kind of where to place it and all that kind of stuff. So there's so many good things we take out of it.
I know years ago we talked about the old L.A. Coliseum. I think you guys played the Rams down there as they were building their new stadium, and you talked about some of the memories you had in that building. Is there any memories that come to mind when you walk into MetLife? Does that place?
Well, yeah, it is in the same place, but it feels like exactly the same place, and there's a ton of memories. Yeah, there, you know, there's a lot of stuff, and I kind of hang on to stuff a little bit, you know. It's kind of my way to hang on to being a little bit pissed about the way it ended, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I didn't let that go, and so it's cool going back. You know, it arouses you in a unique way that we need to manage really well. I'm talking about it to the players, like talking to Julian during, you know, when individually, but also in front of the team, and he talked to the team a little bit before the, you know, the night before the game, and he was roused up and riled, and you know that Jamal was too for a million reasons, and so that's, we just try to deal with those emotions and stuff and put them in the right place so they don't screw us up and we don't, you know, perform, you know, different than we want to.
It's interesting to me that your mind goes that far back rather than, didn't you win a Super Bowl in that building?
Yeah, but that's not, that's no,
those, that doesn't come to your mind.
No, it's the best. It's the negative.
I mean, that seems like a sickness.
Yeah. Oh, no, no kidding. How do you think I do this?
I don't know. Is that what it is? You get motivated to what? To get over the bad things rather than to achieve the good things again?
No, it's not quite like that. It's just carrying the ire, you know, and letting it, not trying to ignore it and put it away. It's okay. It's okay with me. I think it's important to stay like this, whatever this is. I have no idea what this is.
Yeah, it's like a form of grudge holding, but it's almost within yourself.
Yep.
Wow, I love it. All right, well, then let's talk about this game. This doesn't need to be a psychology session here.
No, I want to dig deeper into the psychology piece.
I'm fascinated by it, but I can't, yes. You know. We've been 4 minutes, Brock. I haven't mentioned Devin Witherspoon's name yet, and I feel like I need to.
Wasn't that great?
What did the kid bring to your team yesterday?
He's just being himself. That's just who he is. That's the guy we see every day, and have already come. You know, you've heard me talk. I've already come to expect that's what he's going to be like, the nickel thing has fit him so smoothly because it's just comfortable for him, you know, and he's just, because it is, the game is comfortable for him, and he figures it out, and he knows how to do stuff, makes it look right, and has the knack for making things happen. So it was a big night for him, you know, to get a couple sacks and a couple other good hits, and to be close. He's just gonna keep getting better.
I don't remember, Pete. You can correct me on this one. I did not have the Illini last year, his final year in Champaign. Did he play much nickel there, or
no.
Was he? He was almost exclusively outside, right?
Just when he played man to man in some of his matchups, he would wind up inside. But he didn't play in there to play any zone type of things at all that I can recall. It was mostly all man-to-man stuff, and so that's just matching up on your guy, you know. So this was a lot new to him, but he's been working at it for a long time with us. We started working at it, you know, with this plan in mind back in the springtime. So this isn't new. His whole approach has been stilted because of his injuries, things, and unavailability. So, but it's not that he hasn't been focused on it.
What's the effect on the other 10 guys out on the field to have him out there?
Well, just like any player that you know is highly productive, he affects guys. But he's got a real juice about him, and he loves the game, and he loves the excitement of it and the challenge and all that stuff. And so he's always up, you know, and. I mean, he can get just as excited about a play on the practice field as he would about a game there. He has the same response, and he gets pissed too. You know, when he doesn't get to make the play he wants to make, and he's just got a real high level of juice and energy that we really love.
What is it about elite nickelbacks? Walk me through some of the traits over the years that when you think about some of the guys that just do it at such a high level. What does it require at that position, and then how is Devin able, 3 games in, to check seemingly many of those boxes?
The position, because it has so many dynamics to it, and there's so much spatial opportunity in there to do stuff, that it calls for, if a guy really has great awareness, it can be demonstrated there in the spot. It's the blitzing opportunities, it's the plays in the run, it's the opportunities to react to the quick screens and the perimeter stuff that happens, as well as just try to lock guys down in coverage when you get your chance, you know. And generally, that's a position that is a go-to guy on third down situations. And so we should, you know, if things go properly, we'll get better at third down numbers. Our numbers will just, you know, if he's still in there, and then our numbers will get better. And there's just so many variables, you know, that you cut out so many things when you go outside, you know, as a corner. And it just, the game becomes very simple out there in a sense, because there's only so many things that can happen. And inside, there's just a multitude of variables. And it lends itself to guys who have great awareness and all.
How physical was your team last night? I mean, just watching the pass rush, I think ESPN used the word suffocating. It's not a word that I see thrown up on the screen all that often, but I thought it fit very well last night, specifically in talking about the pass rush. Was it a suffocating pass rush? What made your team so physical last night?
Well, it was interesting. I got a chance to hear the broadcast on the way home, and there was so much talk about their offensive line being so hammered and all that from injuries. We had five guys playing that weren't starters at their position in half the game. And I'm not looking for any credit about that, but our guys held up way better than their guys held up, you know, relative to our pass rush. And Clint threw a whole, you know, bailiwick of stuff at him. We were coming from outside and inside on the strong side, and outside, inside on the weak side. And that just seemed to keep us really fresh in our rush, and we kept getting to highlight, you know, the edge guys, and then the games inside were really effective. It's just we were able to really break them down, you know, and it was one guy or another guy. It wasn't any just constant part of the rush or any one person that did it. It was the whole group. And I mean, look at all the guys that got sacks. And it was so much fun to announce those guys in the locker room. You know, we had four or five guys that had two sacks. You know, when does that ever happen, you know? I think that it all fit really well. And us against them, we had an edge, but better than our. And let's make the other statement is how well our guys held up, and did such a nice job of taking care of them. We didn't wind up throwing the ball that much, but our guys, you know, did a really nice job.
We're going to come back to them, I promise, because we got them on the list. But when you talk about the scheme there and talk about the various ways you attack them, is that new? Is that different from your norm? Is that something we should expect more of? Because that was kind of fun to watch.
No, it was the most complete application of a lot of things. We've used different things throughout, and we didn't do just a couple things that were new, but as you do in a regular game plan. But we got a chance to throw it all at them, and I thought Clint did a masterful job of mixing and making it difficult for them to know we were faking with one guy and bringing the other guy and bringing the other guy and faking the other guy. And the edge guys, Spoon and Jamal, were subtly moving around to disguise their stuff. They both came free, you know, and when you're coming free now, they've got system to block those guys. So you have to get an edge and fool them a little bit, and we were able to do that, it just worked out great for us.
So also speak to some of the versatility that throughout the offseason and into training camp, and when we looked at all of these different pieces, and I know a lot of them couldn't play yesterday. A lot of those guys were also banged up in the back end of your secondary. But, man, does this start to kind of have a vision of what you're capable of doing week to week, matchup to matchup, with the different pieces moving around?
Yeah, when you look at the whole game and you saw you saw Julian come flying up on we were pressuring, and he disguised his coverage and flew up and make a tackle for 2 yard gain or 3 yard gain. And then Tariq comes and makes a terrific play, almost intercepted the ball, you know, breaking on a ball back inside. And Jamal had a reaction that first big hit that he had. I think also Quandre had a nice one too. All of those guys, the reactions that they were showing were really aggressive, and they made really nice hits when they got there. We missed a couple tackles, but when we did. But that all added to, if you got a lot of good guys out there, good guys make good plays. And that's what was showing up. And We were very aggressive with the hits out of the secondary coming from disguises and masking things, and it was really, really cool to see that. And but also Bobby and Jordan had a terrific game. Both those guys, you know, were making their hits as well, and that's where they got their sacks and their big plays, and we get the scoop and the return and all that. So it was just a lot of really cool things that happened.
What was it like having Jamal in there and then not having Jamal?
It was great. It was great to get him out there. You know, he's going to be fine. I'm sure he'll be fine. He's got time to recover and all of that. So it's a little, you know, disheartening for him. And he was in the tank over because he just wanted to keep playing. But he got out there. He got back. He got out there and played. He got hit in the head. That could have happened in any time. And so he's reintroduced to the game is the way I'm looking at it. And I'm excited for him. We'll come back 2 weeks from now, and he'll be ready to fit right back in, and we're going again. This isn't like he got injured, like, you know, he got his head knocked and legitimately. And so we'll take care of that, but we'll get him back. So I think it's a real positive move. You know, I was hoping that he would find some plays. We would have to play him the whole night, you know, and just to get him back in action. And I told him, you might be really mad at me during this game because I might be telling you that you're coming in and out when you didn't want to, you know, so let's just get ready for it. And we never got to that. But you know, he'll add to it. It was great to see him out there. He had a great hit. He had a great blitz. Just missed that first sack. He was on it, you know. So it'll be really fun to move forward.
Was Raves on it last night, Salk? Do we know on that pick six?
Come on, let me hear something.
You got to hear some Raves. All right, before we get to the offense, let's give the defense its due. Here's old Steve Rabel from last night.
So Jones from the shotgun. Breida beside him in the backfield. Single wide out left with a slot to the right side. Seattle looks like they want to rush four. And they do. Jones is going to throw. Throws near side. Ball picked up. Witherspoon comes near side. Down the sidelines. Jones chasing him. He cuts back inside. Picks up blockers. Still being chased. Witherspoon far side. 20, 15, 10, 5. He is in. Holy catfish. Witherspoon went a mile and a half with the interception for a touchdown. Jones looks left. Witherspoon dekes him into throwing. And then picks it off and goes from about the 3 yard line, the length of the field. Are you kidding me? 97 yards. Witherspoon, unbelievable.
What a great call.
I think it was 117 yards when they factored it all in. And you know what else was cool, Pete? Reek hit over 22 miles an hour, helping his buddy out.
Yeah, we heard that. That was the part of the play that I loved the most, the hustle by Julian and Tariq to both seize the opportunity and just fly to get out in front, because they needed what Julian did. Julian made the blocks, and he did a great job to get that done. I didn't hear his speed yet. I did hear about
I want to say it was 20.8 Reek or something. Oh, Julian, I didn't hear Julian's.
Yeah, I haven't heard. But he had a burst in there that should have been right there too. I don't know why they didn't give us a count on that. We didn't hear about that yet, but we'll eventually get that. But what a great play! You know, there was two receivers that were both running a little quick out and then a return, and he had the choice to throw to either one of those guys, and Spoon kind of hung on the inside guy and was available for the outside guy, and I think I would guess that the cube was thrown to the outside guy, anticipating him coming in, and the receiver coming in, and Spoon just saw it, and it was actually pretty easy for him, and he's off and running, and a great job. I thought it was a great job. Somebody was criticizing him for cutting back. I thought that was just great awareness. I mean, guys that know how to score touchdowns, they've done it in their lifetime, and when they get in the open field, they don't let guys get them. It's like when Tyler gets out there, you know, guys don't even touch him, you know. And that was, I thought, a great illustration of that on his part.
How good a night was it for John Schneider and his group? I found myself thinking about the number five pick and a lot of the depth that was shown, not just on defense, but on the offensive line, which you've referenced now a couple times for good reason. And Dre Jones, I thought, for at least from my perspective, had his best game yet. There's a lot of John Schneider imprint. I know there is on every game, but it felt like last night especially.
Yeah, and I think particularly because Devin had such a big game, you know. And he did mention that he's got more sacks than Carter, you know. You know, something like that, you know, at this point. just excited. You know, we compete too. We're competing, you know, and he's competing all the time. He wants those guys to come through, and he loves seeing when Anthony gets out there and jumps in the guard and helps us out and, you know, plays winning football for us. And all the guys, you know, with Mafe playing so well, and you know, there's just a lot of really exciting things happening. And which is, like, I really feel like this. I'm not making this up. We're just getting going. We're just getting started. And there's going to be a lot more opportunity for us to continue to come together and clean our stuff up. We stunk up the joint in the first quarter. I mean, that was a mess out there. And whether the calls were legit or not, I don't care. You know, we stunk up the joint. And we couldn't even get started. It was first and 20 like three times, you know. And so we just need to keep working it. And it's really exciting. And I wanted to say, too, when I got the chance, I love this team now. These guys are really fun to coach. They're fun to coach. They respond. You know, I get after them at halftime, and you know, I just didn't want to miss this chance to come out flying again, you know. And we had juice, and we got better as the half went on, you know, again, which is a really great trait. And I'm going to try to hope we can capture that. I'm just really excited about this thing, so it's really fun.
I love that word, juice, man. I think you've said it now 2, 3, 4 times, and we could go through so many guys that brought it in the different units that did that. I mean, heck, your special teams. Dixon was awesome, guys flying up and down the field in that way as well. But let's get to your quarterback, because he was a little juiced up. He did not like that hit. He let them know about it multiple times, I think even unsportsmanlike because of it. Talk to me about Geno.
He said it was flat out dirty after the game.
Yeah, I didn't see your Zen move to Geno yesterday. Maybe it was behind the scenes.
Oh, no, we were working it, yeah. Yeah, we were working it. He was out there a little bit. That was a nasty. That's the play that it's the horse, yeah. The horse collar tackle is it's not when you grab the guy's horse collar, the back of his shoulder pads. It's when you pull him down and you fly into his legs, the back of his legs. There's kind of a natural opportunity for guys to lift their weight and drop it on the back of the legs of the guy. And that's just something that we've tried to get out of football, and it's become a big deal. And pretty clear cut, that's what that tackle wound up being. And whether it was the classic what he grabbed or not, the way he finished it, honestly, it's kind of a natural thing for a guy to do. Well before anybody knew that we were trying to hurt somebody doing that, you know, or whatever, you could hurt somebody doing that. Guys had done that. I've got a famous one in my history with Joey Browner back in the days at Minnesota. He did one of those things and wrecked the guy on that one of those tackles. And it's just always been in my mind. And so I know, and we all know, the players know now, that's a really dangerous situation. I don't know what the kid tried to do it, or I don't have any thought about that. It just should have been recognized, I wish. You know, I don't even care about the penalty. We just got to get that out of ball, because it's so dangerous. And we're so lucky that Geno didn't get just wiped out, because he could have easily. And then he carried it a little bit. And I think if the flag would have been thrown, it would have been different for him. But the fact that it wasn't thrown, I don't know, it just kept him riled up. And he came all the way back to the next series. That's when he was still popping off about it. So I did a terrible job helping him out. I got nothing accomplished.
I think even after, like, the x-rays in the second half is when the penalty came, he was still so mad about it. But did he come out of that okay? You're right. It looked like it could have been ankle, fibula, knee.
So. Yeah, I think so. He went back in the game and was able to get back out there. So I think so. It was a really scary moment. He wants to keep playing. He didn't want his career to go that way. And so that's all. Yeah. That's Geno. We know him. He's feisty and fiery, and just like everybody is, you know. And it just didn't quite get it cooled down quick enough.
What do you say to Drew Lock before he goes in?
Oh, I was fired up for him. I was really excited for him to get his chance to go. And I was just trying to keep him clear and light, you know, with it, and not try to do too much. And he was jacked. He needed this. He needed to get out there, and somehow we go down, we score the drive, you know, with beautiful come through. And it was too bad the touchdown didn't count for us, but still we knocked it in the end zone right there. That's an excellent start. And regardless, he missed a couple passes that he won't miss when he gets. When he chills out a little bit, you know, he was a little bit jacked.
But he can move, Pete.
He can move. He's really fluid. He's really quick, and he's got a good burst. The great call, you know, get him on the draw play to get him going was a nice thought by Shane, and just a hair off on the ball to Jackson on the sidelines, and you know, so Now he's played. And so the next time, it'll be like his first preseason game when he felt kind of overhyped, and then the next game he felt totally chilled out.
Well, the nice thing for him.
That's what he needs to do, and we'll try to figure out how to recapture that.
I mean, the nice thing for him, it was his preseason O-line. I mean, there was a lot.
Hey, same guys, right?
There was a lot. I mean, seriously, you mentioned it earlier, and the broadcast did talk a lot about them being down a couple guys. You had one, you know, for most of the game, five guys in five different new spots,
right?
And young guys. How did they function?
Let's mention it. Really, Stone did a good job again. Jake, you know, did a good job. They both got rushed a couple times, but they battled through this, you know, three games in a row of doing their playing. Fantastic job by the tackles. Bradford came back in the game. You know, we anticipated we were going to rotate him in the game, and so, you know, unfortunately, Phil went down. But Anthony held his own against one of the best guys he'll play against. And then when we lose D. Lou, and we have to move Evan to guard, and in comes Olu. Those guys held their own, and they did a really good job.
Who was left?
To win a football game on Monday night, you know, against one of the best interior groups that they're going to see. It was a great accomplishment. And again, guys coming through when they're called on.
Not many left. I mean, was Dickerson going to get out there? Was he going to suit up in the lot? I mean, you're not down to many left on the sideline.
I think Khalil would have been a little better than Andy.
At some point, what do you – I mean, you lose two more guys. Does Will go in there? What do you do next?
Yeah.
Come up with something?
Yeah. We'll just leave at guard or something, you know. I don't know. We were struggling because some guys got banged up, and we had to go kick the field goals. And those guys were all, you know, there's like eight of them on the field goal team, you know, so they're all out there. So it was messy. It was kind of messy.
Again, I guess so many interesting parts from this game. Importance of depth. You know, when I watch this team versus maybe the last 5 or 6 years, how does this team look 1 through 53, or maybe even 20 through 53 compared to some of what we've seen?
When we're all healthy, It's a full roster. The corners, you know, we didn't have three guys tonight, you know, and that's a big deal because all three of those guys can play. Artie can play, and we've loved what Kobe's done, and Trey had a great game just 2 weeks ago. I mean, those guys, none of those guys were there, you know, so we were teetering the whole time, you know, that having to go to the next level of guys, which we got Boykin in the game for the first time. It was great to see them get a couple of plays in there, you know, and so. The O-line has shown you, and the tight ends, you know, we got four tight ends that can play for us, five tight ends with Mabry, you know, they can all play. We feel good about all these positions are okay. So I don't know if it matches up with, you know, the best that we've had here over the years, but it feels very, very comfortable to have those guys coming off the bench and playing, and everybody's pretty much involved. And so we're in a good spot. We just got to get back. I mean, you know, this next 2 weeks is really important for us.
Well, you got your 2 weeks here to – do you want the bye now, or would you, like,
yes,
with this momentum, you wouldn't
yes
want to keep going?
No, we've been aiming at it, so you know, I don't ever gripe about that when that thing shows up. This is when it was coming. It hit at exactly the right time. You know, we're going to make the most of it. And we've got some momentum, and if we can recapture some guys, you know, and their well-being, it'll be you know, very timely for us.
Well, hopefully those guys were able to sleep. I know the head coach wasn't, and he's bouncing up and down the aisles.
Yeah, what were those guys sleeping on the plane for, Dave? I don't understand, man. All these guys were sleeping. I didn't sleep a wink.
No.
Does anybody walk up and down the aisles other than, you know, the flight attendants with you? Is it just you talking to somebody?
I did work the aisles. Yeah, I was working them. But there was nobody to talk to. I had my phone with my, you know, my little flashlight on. No, he's not awake. No, he's not awake, you know. Next one. And so, you know.
Whatever. Coach, your team's 3-1. You're four games into this season. You get a couple weeks off now to recuperate and get your guys back, and we'll see you here in a couple weeks. Congrats.
Appreciate it. Two-week win.
Yeah. That's pretty good to sit on. All right, we'll be that's going to do it for us, Brock. We will see all of you guys tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Till then, the hay.
Oh, it's in the barn.
See you, everybody.